Well, desire your prayers. Several years ago, I remember hearing about a situation. One of the airlines was given flights. I think the way they advertised it was go anywhere in the country and back for a dollar. And a dollar. And they left their promotion go for a while. And one person came and said, I want that dollar flight. One person. They put up posters, they put up advertisements, and maybe it was to see how people would react. I don't remember. But one, I remember them saying one person, one older lady, I believe it was, actually come and said, I'd like to have that flight ticket. And they gave the flight dollar. And she went anywhere, wherever she was going. She went and back. Nobody took advantage of it. I don't know why exactly. I don't remember that. Probably they looked at it as I would have. I'd have probably looked at it and said, yeah, right. Oh, that can't be. That kind of stuff. But one person took advantage of it. Sometimes you'll see businesses that'll say, open. We're open now. Or that kind of stuff. Saying, it's available. You can take advantage of us now. You can come and get what you need to have. I'm thinking today that Jesus has made himself available. I believe that he's made the expression, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. It's open. I'm making myself available to you. For the needs of your life, the scripture says that if you lack understanding, if you lack wisdom, go off for a 4-year degree or be in school for 12 years or no. I'm available. You lack wisdom? Ask. Ask. Come and get it. If you lack strength, for your spiritual life, if you lack courage for your life, if you lack whatever you have need of, I'm available. I wonder how many of us are guilty of saying, I mean, of not taking advantage when anywhere in the country for a dollar. How would you like to know today somebody say, you know, if they would say to me, anywhere in the country, your whole family, all of you, a dollar apiece. You know what? I ain't even going anywhere. To be honest with you, I don't even know where, but I would probably have to say, I might be going somewhere. I'm going to look at that because that's a good deal. Well, Jesus has made a good deal. But I wonder how many people, how many of us even are guilty of not being motivated towards it, not being aware of it, not really understanding and realizing that right there, that close, there is help for the situation. So I'd like to start with a familiar scripture. It's in Mark, 5th chapter. Look at this a little bit. In the 25th verse of the 5th chapter of Mark, it says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, And she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague." This account of this woman is very interesting. There's a lot of detail in this. This woman was, she had something wrong with her that could, by the nature of it, could hardly even be spoken of. She must have felt herself in a terrible strait with what was going on with her. It says that she was like this for 12 years. Commentators said probably without a respite or without a break. She was 12 years of this situation. She done only what people would know to do. She wanted to get better. She hoped to get better. She would do whatever it took to be better. That's what we generally would do, I think. This woman was in this situation, and so she sought the physicians of her day. If you've never read that, you might be interested in finding out what they, there was some writings I read about what that meant. She sought the physicians, and the physicians, I read that there was a whole list someone wrote about the way they would have attempted to work with this, and it was something like this. You get a pound of this and a pound of that, and you throw it in the pot, and you boil it so long, and throw something else in there, and then a certain time or the other day, then you drink that, and if that don't cure you, then you put this, and you get this, and you put this in, you boil it so long, and you do this, and you take that. Now, if that don't work, you do this, and you do that, and maybe you take it, and you set by the intersections of two roads, and then you do it at a certain time of day, and you take that. And if that don't work, you do something else. And this woman sought this cure, this way of handling this situation. She didn't have any other options. I mean, 12 years of this, Jesus definitely wasn't passing by her all the time during this particular time. And so she sought this, and the scripture says, and like I said, there's a lot of detail to this. One of the things it said that she suffered many things of the physicians, which meant that these cures, these way, all of these things that she'd done harmed her. It didn't help her. You take this herb and you concoct it and get together with this and you drink it with this and you do this and if that don't help you, you do this and you do that. And no doubt there was reactions to each one of these things and there was things that happened to her and she suffered through that too in a way of trying to find this. She suffered there too. There was this answer that come along, and what I want us to look at is that, do you know sometimes, and I know there's a lot to say about this, but you know sometimes, maybe all the time, I'm not sure how this all works, but you know, it's really hard to make myself believe something. It's really hard to inspire myself to do something. Do you that way? Is it really, I mean, have you ever looked at something and said, you know what, about yourself maybe, I need that changed. I know that intellectually, I'd be better off if this wasn't a part of my life. But do you ever find yourself hard to get the inspiration to really change it? I find it hard to just, I'll be honest with you, find it hard to rule my own self. I know where my help comes from. I know how to do it. I know what it comes from. It comes from the Lord. What my inspiration today is, and what I want to encourage us with today is, this woman said, I must touch Jesus. If I could but touch Jesus. If we could only realize that here is an answer that's worth thinking about. Here is something that's worth being the forefront of our thinking. I must touch Jesus. What does it take to touch Jesus? We can say, you know what? I know the Lord can help me here, but if He will, He will. Okay, I've had those thoughts too. But this woman had more than that. She had gotten to a place, and I can't help from thinking that God brought her to this place. Don't you believe that today? Well, we look at the circumstances around us sometimes and we think, I just got there by this or that. And I know that we have the capability many times of getting ourselves into our own troubles. But you know, this woman had something wrong with her, and I believe that God allowed her to go through this scene, getting lower, getting more disappointed. Maybe sometimes an herbal mixer does help somebody. That's good. I have problems with that. I like to be better too, feel better. Those kind of things. But it didn't help her. And had it have helped her, I'm going to ask you, had it have helped her, would she have ever come to this place? Because she got more than a healing of the body here. She got more than she did. She was thinking she was buying here. She had spent all of her money. She had done everything that she knew to do. She had evidently listened to the physicians of her day. Thought, well, this worked for somebody. This worked for somebody else. You concoct this. You do this. Somewhere down the line, we'll try to find something. 12 years of it. She has no money left. She hasn't got the strength to work to help herself anymore. She can't help her family if she got. She can't do the things that she would normally do. And now she's got herself into a real place. Do you know what the real place is good for? You get yourself in a real place. I appreciate your testimony, Keith. I'm going to use it a little bit. Because you got yourself in a place. You're hanging. I mean, something bad's going to happen here. Something bad's going to happen. What you got was a testimony. What you got was a little bit of what God can do. What you saw was Jesus, see. How did you get there? You got there because the Lord allowed you to get there. If we'll only realize, not everybody would have seen the Lord in that. Many things can happen in people's lives and them never acknowledge or see God in it, or even look to see God in it. I look to my own ability. I look to my own ways or circumstances, or I'm glad this didn't happen. I was fortunate. I was lucky. All these things. This woman got to a place she had none of that left. She wasn't lucky. She couldn't help herself. No other man could help her. She got down to the end of the line, and then what did she do? I'm going to suggest here today that even in our years of living for the Lord, there'll be times, and I wish that it wasn't this way. I pray that we ask the Lord to help us not be this way. But the truth of our humanity is that probably a lot of the situations the Lord wants to work with us has got to get us to that kind of a place. Where this woman was at, to where there's nothing else I can do. But I want to encourage us that we not look to that always to be that way, but that we look and say, I must touch, as maybe the first thoughts, as maybe that God's helped me so many times, He can help me again, that it isn't at the end of 12 years of suffering, it isn't at the end of other things, but the Lord can help me. But you know what our prayer ought to be is? Lord, if it takes that to get me there, then get me there. So it says that she suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered. But rather she grew worse. Over those 12 years she was in a decline. She was definitely getting worse of this condition. She was definitely in a place that she couldn't help herself. No one else had been able to help her. And it says, when she heard of Jesus, I wonder, I'd like to know that. When she heard of Jesus, I wonder what those words were. Hey, know you've been having trouble for quite a long time. I know you're in a real way. There is a man coming by here in a little bit that I saw him turn a few fish and a couple loaves of bread into enough to feed 5,000. Well, that'd be inspiring. You did? Yep. He healed a blind man too. Just blessed, and he could see. There was a man that never walked, and he was leaping and shouting. There was one that was sick of the palsy, and he healed him. There was 10 lepers went to him, them, and you know how leprosy is, and he healed them all. Well, there's something. I wonder if that's what she heard. Or maybe she just heard, there's some kind of a kook coming by here after a while, says he's the Son of God. Who knows? Who knows? But she said, whatever it was, I think my mind was is that it's easy to disbelieve anything. In my mind, whatever it was, touched something inside this woman. You know how God does those kind of things? Did He do it to you? Did God ever give you an inspiration that gainsayers can't take out? God does something inside a faith, gives you something. God wants to say, I'm available today. God wants to speak an inspiration to our heart to say, I'm available. I long for this relationship with you. I want to be a part of your life. I want you to come with your problems and your cares and your burdens. I want to be able to deal with them. I'm going to say no sometimes to you because I know better than you do. But I want you to say, if I but touch Him, do you know your touching isn't always for the healing of your body? Sometimes it's for the comfort of your soul. Sometimes it's for the consolation of your mind. You ever get in turmoil in your mind? Lord, help me. I stay there a lot of times. You know what the consolation of my mind is? God's in control. God's got it in control and He can help me. He can give me peace. He can speak peace to me because He's in control of all this. And sometimes He don't remove the circumstances. Sometimes He does. But sometimes He gives a grace to live life by. I can go on, be peaceful, be what I need to be because of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm available to heal your mind, help your mind, give you strength to face your day with. He healed her, but He wouldn't have had to. You understand what I'm saying? He could have said to her, daughter, this has been precious to get you to where you can talk to me. I want to give you an overflowing, overwhelming grace that lifts you above your situation. She was despondent. She was discouraged. She was put down. In the victory, the lifting up of that mind of the soul. Sometimes the body. I'm going to tell you, this woman that he healed right here has been dead for some thousand years. Been hundreds of years. She's been dead. She died. But how did she die? I wonder if this event didn't go on. I think the woman got more from this situation than the healing of her body. She found a Savior. She found someone that made it not matter to die. This is what she's fighting for her life, but He gave her life. And the insinuation is that this man gave me life and give me life eternal. I have more than that. More than just what's here on this earth. But the availability of this consolation. I wonder how often we don't take advantage. I wonder how often we put it to the side to caress my own hurts. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't do you right, Marty. You know what I'm saying? It feels good. I'm going to crash myself. If you, they didn't do you right, you've been hurt, and they owe you one. You can play with all of it in your mind. But Jesus is saying, standing with his arms open, saying, come unto me. Come unto me. You're coddling your hurts, but I got a victory for your hurts. You go on and try to take care of your things yourself, you're going to get yourself in more and more trouble as you go along. This woman said, I must, but if I touch, this was her faith. If I could but touch his garment. All right, it says, when she heard of Jesus, some of this reading is actually found in Matthew, of the different ways she said it, but when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for he said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. A little bit on that. This woman had obviously declined down to a weak, very weak person. But her faith got a hold of something. And I don't understand it all, but she needed the reality of something in her life. She needed the reality of what she's done. I don't know how to say it all, but why wouldn't it have worked if she said, could have said, all I've got to do is see. Works for me. Or I've got to do something. But in her face she said, I must touch. I need to touch him. I believe it's there. Inspired of God, maybe, for her personally. Not everybody had to touch Jesus to get help. There was a Roman centurion come up to him and said, Master, I am a man under authority. I understand authority. And I have men under me. I say to them, go, they go. Where I say, come, they come. I understand authority completely. I have a servant sick. Would you heal him? Jesus said, let's go. He said, you don't have to go. I understand the authority. All you got to do is speak the word. Jesus said, I've not seen such faith in all Israel. This is a Roman soldier that understood this man here has authority and power. To my faith, all he's got to do is speak. I don't think it worked for her, to be honest with you. Jesus will meet us where we're at, folks. Do you under? Jesus will meet you where you're at. The same, centurion with his great faith got the answer, and her in a weakened faith got her answer. Jesus meets at faith. He inspired her with this, but she needed something more. That's why you see the great range, I think, in the scriptures. If you'll give me this liberty, because it's not concrete, but it seems as in the scriptures that the Lord dealt with people of different ways. Why did he heal one blind man by saying, receive your sight, and the other, and he put clay out of spit on it? Why did he do the difference? Why did he do one in stages? They seen men walking as trees. It was blurred vision. And then he healed him completely. Why did the Lord do all that? Do you know he was meeting people? He said to some of them, believe I'm able to do this? Yeah, I believe it, but Lord help my unbelief. Why? Because there was places of doubt and all that. The Lord was saying, I'm here. You're saying today, I don't have faith to receive like they have in the past. Yes, you do. Because God will meet you at your faith when you press it. When you press, this woman said, if she'd have had faith, I believe she could have stood on the sidelines and this story would have been different. She didn't. She needed something. And she put out what it took to get it. You know, the answer is touching Jesus. The answer is touching Jesus. How you touch him takes on a variety of things that's specific to an individual. Your touching him may take great labor, but it may come in the silence of the night. It may come in resignation. The burden of my heart today is we must touch Jesus. We got to touch him. I got to touch Jesus to get the answers of my life fulfilled. I got to touch him in faith some way or another. I got to touch him. I've got to make a connection with the Lord. The Lord has opened up his business. He stands open. I'm open to you. How often do you take advantage of this opening? Over in the John, let's see, I think this is John 3 I'm going to look at here. This is part of Jesus talking to Nicodemus. In this whole thing, I'm not going to get all of it. I'm just going to pick out a part. 14th verse said, and this scripture can seem out of place read in this whole context, but listen to this. It said in the 14th verse, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So as Moses, look at that in Numbers, as Moses lifted up the serpent, you remember this story, fifth verse of the 21st chapter of Numbers, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither there is any water, and our soul loveth this light bread. They're murmuring about the manna, the manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, he shall live. Now this is what he was talking about by over there, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. Here is the remedy for your problem. That this be lifted up. God can do it any way he wants to, but he told Moses, you make you a serpent, a replica of a serpent, and put it up on a pole, and when the people are bit, what? Bit? But Lord, we repented. Do we still have to be bit? Yep. Ah, boy, I'll tell you. This old life bites. I have to have trouble? I have to go through these things? Things don't have to work for me? Yep, that's right. This is what he said. Well, why didn't we pray that you take the serpents away? Nope. You still got to contend with the serpents. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a remedy. You get bit, you won't die. If you'll follow the prescription, in other words, business is open. I'm available. You set up an enzyme, set up a figure, put it up there. I wonder how many people, surely everybody that got bit by serpents wasn't within sight of that pole. Now, I've lived enough life to know that it couldn't have been that way. People would get bit by them serpents and that pole would be someplace else. Now, I got bit. I'm going to have to make me a real effort for the remedy. Because it isn't always just available. Be real nice. Oh, I'm not bit. Right there's the pole. Look at the pole. It's okay now. I ain't going to die. But it didn't have to be. People was off somewhere doing work, looking, lifting logs or rolling rocks and get bit. And, oh, no, I got bit by these things. It kills you. There's a remedy. And the remedy and the likeness of what Jesus said to Nicodemus was, you understand this, men have fallen to sin. Men are living in a sinful world. There's many temptations out there. There's a lot of things out there. We need help. We're touched by things. There's been things that I never thought I was even susceptible to that I find myself having to deal with. There's thoughts and things like that. And the Lord said, there's an answer. I'm open. Come unto me. Look to Jesus for those answers. Look for Jesus to the things that touch your heart. The things that you feel that you understand. No, Lord, help me here. I need help. I need help. So he said, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come pass that every one that is bitten, when he look upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So yeah, there's a given there, I think. What if he got bitten by one of these fiery serpents and he didn't look at the pole? Well, the given would have to be, he died. I ain't looking at that. I ain't doing that. But it's available to you. Right there it is. There's a remedy for sin. There's a remedy for guilt. There's a remedy for destruction. There's a remedy for bad behavior. There's a remedy for temper. There's a remedy for lustfulness. There's a remedy for covetousness. There's a remedy for envy. There's a remedy. There's a remedy for it. If you look. One more scripture in the 12th chapter of John. All right, in the 20th verse, it says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. There have been a lot of messages preached about that, songs sung about it. Simple little expression. They came and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We made us a trip. We made us a journey. Got something important here. We want to see Him. I want to behold Him. I think see means, well, I want to understand. I want something. I got something. I got a need. The wise men at Jesus' birth came from a long ways. To most accounts, it took probably a couple of years to do it. Jesus wasn't a baby when the Magi came. He was a toddler, almost definitely. And they didn't come to the barn either. They didn't come to the manger thing. That wasn't where they came. They come to the house. They come to a house where they were staying, and they come a long ways, and they come, and what did they say? They come, they saw something. There was something that told them something special here. We're going to see what it is. How long did it take them? It was a journey. It was a trip. They've spent their life, their time, their gifts. They come. Because they said, we've got to see Jesus. This is Simeon said in the temple, basically these words, I can die now. Lord, you can take me now. For my eyes have beheld the consolation of Israel. Longed for it, wanted to see it. Now it's opened and I can go in peace because salvation's come. Something special. I think of the scripture that talks about the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba. I don't know what Sheba was, but the queen of Sheba. It wasn't her name, it was the location. She was the queen of this place. And she made a journey to see Solomon. To see the great wisdom that was spoke of and the great splendor of the kingdom that Solomon had built up. Oh, God had blessed him with riches and finery. And not only that, but there was a great ascent to worship. Oh, Solomon went with a great fanfare. All this and a great admiration that they all, oh, it was all inspiring to see them go before God. And she wanted to see it. But the scripture says she made this great journey from the south. She made a great journey and a great effort. Probably hot, sweaty, all this took time, energy, money, but she wanted to do something special, so she wanted to go see Solomon. But the scripture says, one greater than Solomon has come. She'll testify against this because she made by the one and desire of her heart to understand righteous things, she made a great journey to see something of God. It was open and available. But it took a great press. But the scripture says she'll stand up in judgment against this generation. Because there's one greater than Solomon has come. There's one much worth seeing than Solomon. More wisdom than Solomon. More ability to touch the heart and to change the heart. Change the life. Change the attitude. Change the anger and the envies and the lust. And change a person. Much more, more able, much more fascinating. Should be much more desired. And it's available. Sir, I must see Jesus. Got a question for him. Sir, I must see Jesus. I got a problem. I need answered. Sir, I must see Jesus. I got an attitude that if I hold on to, it's going to be corrupting in my life. I gotta see Jesus. Gotta see him. He's the answer. And he's available. He's opened up and he's available. Down through the history, there have been people that have had great desires to see things. I always wanted to see some things. I ain't seen them all. Maybe I will someday. I like to see the Grand Canyon. Well, they say it's grand. So, grand to look at. Grand to see. Several people here have seen it. Maybe some people says, oh, I ain't got to see just a big hole. Big thing out of there. But there's something spectacular. It draws many people. Kind of like to see it. But there's something better than all that. People make a great effort. See, I haven't been to the Niagara Falls either. People want to go see it. People are drawn to go see the Super Bowl. People want to go see events. People want to go see things. Jesus is available and he says, sir, I must see Jesus. I want to go see Jesus with this thing in my life. I feel like that there's been a lot of things in my life that it took God a long time to get me down to the point that I had nothing else to lean on before I go see Jesus. Lord, help us. It shouldn't take saints of God that long. 12 years. Those different things. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the workings of the Lord. Or at least I can say this, because I'm not totally convinced in my mind what it is all about, because I think sometimes in our humanity, God has to work with us and bring us to those kind of places to get there, but I believe He will. And Lord, help us to be willing to be able to take these things to the Master. He's the one that can do it. Do you remember when there was a wedding feast and Jesus' mother came to Him, Mary, and says, you know, We need some help here. And Jesus said, it's before my time. Alright. And we'll tell you, they went to the right one. You got some water basins? You got some things? Bring them here. And he turned the water into wine. First notable miracle that Jesus did in his ministry. Mary knew where to go. You understand what I'm saying? Because it said, different places in the scriptures that she hid these things in her heart. She hid them. She said in her heart, this is notable. I know where he came from. I know what he is. I know what God's doing. She hid these things in her heart. And now it's time for a need. It's time that something happens here. I know who can do it. And she went to him and said, son, it needs done. And went to the right place to get the answer. Here is something that you can know for sure. What answer he gives you is the right one for you. Because I sometimes don't know the answers. I'm willing to take counsel. Lord, help me to be pliable. I want to take counsel. I want to hear what people say. I want to know what their experience is. But can I tell you something? And maybe it's just me. I always have a little doubt left in me about what people say. Hey, it's just because they've been wrong so much. You know what I'm saying? There's always a little bit. I'll consider that. And I want to know. But I want to tell you, the Lord knows the answers. And when the Lord brings you to these kind of places to where you've not got anything else, He's brought you to the right place. So Lord, help us to have this maintained in us. Sirs, I must see Jesus. I must touch the hem of His garment. And I think that our daily lives ought to be saturated in touching the Lord. Lord, help us to touch You with our lives. You pray for me. I won't be faithful.